You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
Father, I love you, and I know that you're loved in this body. Our love for you is far more than lip service, and yet I confess for myself and on behalf of this family that we need more of you. We need a greater revelation of Christ in our lives. And so I ask you in this season in which we are living, this season of celebration, this season of festivity, this season of giving, I would ask you to let Jesus be revealed in more impacting and deeper ways than ever before for each of us. I pray that our hearts are truly opened even today to your word and to truth. And I pray that you are so big to us. It's just so big to us that we cannot deny you. We cannot get away from you. We cannot miss you. And I pray that even in the most hectic, most chaotic moment of the season, we still have the ability to hear the still small voice of the Savior and to see you in the midst of things. I ask you to weave yourself in the very fabric of our lives so that we are integrated with you and become one with you so deeply that we have identity in you above everything else about our lives, and that you really do get the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Let's talk a little bit this morning about Jesus. I'm going to just sort of like lay a question out there to you, and hopefully we can work with this question throughout the sermon this morning. And that question is this: who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? I remember watching a documentary, and the guys on this documentary were trying, it was on the History Channel, and they were trying to tell us who this Jesus is. You know, and I remember one guy, he was adamant that he was simply a great Jewish man. He was noble among Jewish people. Another guy said, no, he was a renegade, cult leader, kind of guy who grabbed captive a group of people, a band of comrades around him, and they went about sort of like a Robin Hood kind of guy of his day, you know. And then there was a guy on there who said, no, he truly is the Son of God. He was born from God. He came to earth and he lived and he died and he was resurrected. And so he's a God form, the guy called him. I don't know why he said that, but he's a God form, and there was the miraculous and the amazing about him, and so there's all through time people have been trying to tell us who Jesus is. All right, now here's the thing: if I had only listened to other people in my circle of influence years ago tell me about Barbie Bishop, I would just know about her. And people told me all about her. They told me amazing things about this young lady. Some of them told me I wasn't even worthy to marry this amazing woman. And they were right. All right? She's fabulous. But had I not been willing to get to know her myself, I would never have known the wonderful things about my wife. Had I not spent time with her, had I not experienced her myself, I would not have understood the nuances and the subtle things to be enjoyed and admired about my lovely wife. Am I doing good here? Yes! Merry Christmas. Seriously, though, there's something about sitting down with someone and really getting to know them. And that's different than knowing about someone. I would love to have sat down with Winston Churchill. He was crazy. He was a crazy man, but so amazingly powerful and influential. And I read about him. I love to read about Winston Churchill. I love going to London and going down in the bunker under the housing there and going through where Churchill led the decision making for the war and all that kind of stuff. Loved looking at the chair that he sat in. Loved looking at the bed that he laid in. You know, loved looking at the coffee cup that was still sitting there. Because the day the war ended, they weren't sure it was really over. And so they just turned out the lights in these bunkers way down under London where they were living and where they were quartered. And they turned the lights out and left everything. Even cubes of sugar are just sitting there on the desk next to a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. It's still there. And you can walk through these corridors of these bunkers, and there's big, thick paneled glass, and they have this atmosphere created, and the air is regulated just right, so nothing rots or decays, and you can see everything there. And it's like, I know about Winston Churchill, but I don't know him. You know, I never got to know him. I would have liked to have done that. There are other. I would have liked to have known my grandfather. Never got know about him. But didn't know him. But here's the thing. This Jesus is different. It's different. We can know him. We can learn about him. I can teach you about him. You can read about him. You can go so far. But there comes a point where it has to shift. Because in the relationship, if you really want to have a revelation of God and his greatness and his goodness, you need to know Jesus. If you want to have this eternal security and know that you're right with God and that there's a deep and abiding relationship that's going on between you and him, you got to know Jesus. All right? You can't just know about him. You can't just open a history book. You can't just take a course. Dr. Hitchcock could teach you all about Jesus. He could, so could his wife. You could take their classes, all right? You could sit under their tutelage, all right? And you could learn detail upon detail about the life of Christ and walk away from there and still not know him. You can read the magazine articles. You can check out DVDs and watch them. All these kinds of things can tell you all about Jesus. But I'm telling you, there's got to come a point where you move to a different place, a different dynamic in the relationship, and you got to be able to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And I remember one of the things that amazed me the most in all the experiences I've ever had was hearing a young lady say, a teenage girl say, "Who is Jesus?" And I remember the guy that was kind of talking among us as a group, and he goes, "What?" He was like, "What?" And in his culture, in his little world that he had lived in before he decided to go evangelize, he just had an assumption that all Americans know who Jesus is. And this little young teenage girl said, "Who is Jesus?" And he's like, you have to have heard of Jesus. And she's like, "I don't know, maybe, I don't think so." She was clueless of who Jesus was. And he goes, "Man, this is like inner city America?" And yeah. There are people who don't know. There are people who wonder. There are people who investigate and research. But here's the good news today, guys. We can know who this Jesus is. You can know. You don't have to live your life in some kind of distant relationship, feeling there's some gap between you and God. You can know Jesus. I want to declare that to you. You can know him. You can have relationship with him. There is intimacy with you and with Jesus Christ. He will reveal himself to you. Let me take you to a passage in Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 13 here. It says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?'" Good question from Jesus. What are the people talking about? What are they saying? They replied, "Some of the people say John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. There seems to be this kind of mystical thing going on that one of these old prophetic guys has been resurrected and has come back. And so he's doing all of these amazing, miraculous things. And then Jesus kind of like really brings it in and he goes, but what about you? Who do you say I am? What's in your head? What's in your heart about me? How do you see me? What do you believe about me? And Simon Peter, of course, being the one who can jump up and answer, you know, he goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boom. He sealed it right there. Peter knew who he was. Peter understood who this Jesus was. And then Jesus responds to him and he says, blessed are you, Simon. This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And that's where I want you to springboard here from that statement today, all right? He did not get this because he sat under some guy and got educated about who Jesus was. He didn't get this because he read some document or opened some book or parchment or scroll. He didn't get this because his daddy made sure he understood something. This isn't head knowledge for Peter. It's relationship, it's heart. He had walked with Jesus. He was there fishing on his boat, cleaning his nets, doing whatever he was doing in a given day, when suddenly Jesus walked along and called him by name. And something happened. Something significant took place. There was something inside of this man, Peter, that responded to the call of Jesus. Somehow he knew something in him, a longing deep inside of this man for something more significant than just the identity of himself and living his life selfishly out there, grabbed a hold of him when Jesus spoke his name. And the Bible says he laid down his nets. He laid down his identity. And he began to follow Jesus. He took on a whole new identity as he followed the Christ. And out of those times of relationship with Jesus, out of those times of sitting together and hearing Jesus talk and lay out the scriptures and share the truths, he began to get a revelation. And the revelation that came to him was indeed, this is Christ. He's the Son of God, the living God. And he took hold of that. And so I want to challenge you and I today that we answer that same question. That somehow it gets posed to us. Who do you say that Jesus is? What are you saying? And I'm not talking about just if someone came up to you and asked you, you know, I'm not talking about if someone comes to your door and says, oh, if you were to die today, where would you go? You know, I'm not talking about that kind of process. I'm not talking about a canned presentation of the gospel or a planned presentation of the gospel. I'm talking about when you're just living life. You know, when you're driving down the road, when you're dealing with your kids, when you're done with the day and you're rehearsing what went through your day and you're trying to figure out if you did it right or did it wrong or did it good or did it bad or whatever. Who do you say Jesus is? When you're put in that place of making a particular decision, when a temptation comes along your way and it starts to draw you and draw you in, who do you say Jesus is? Who is he in the fabric and the day of your life? And when people see your life and see you living your life out there among them, what is the message that is being conveyed to those people? What are they seeing you, or what are they hearing you by your actions and your deeds say Jesus is? And so if we can, let's examine that for just a few moments here this morning. Let's talk about that just a little bit, all right? Peter says that he's the Messiah, all right? He says he's saying he's the Savior, he's the Lord, he's the King. All these things are wrapped up in there. But let's look at it from some other scriptures for just a little bit here, all right? Let's try to sort this out just a little bit this morning. Jesus replies and says, Simon, you're blessed This has not been revealed to you by man, but by God. And I believe that we need that kind of revelation. Not a revelation of man, but a revelation of God, a revelation of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit needs to speak to us about who Christ is. And then we need to be able to integrate that into our lives. And then our lives need to demonstrate that. Whatever has been integrated into our lives and brought change to us or shifted us in terms of how we see God and how we see ourselves, that should be expressed in some tangible ways within our lives. But it's going to start in our head. It's going to start in our mindset. It's going to start in that place of what we have made Jesus to be. Simon Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That's who you are. And I wonder, what have we, in light of that declaration, what have we made Him to be? Is He the Savior, the Messiah? Is He the one who saves you? There's a kind of an intimidating question out there that you hear from time to time, and I've said it, and I've said it to other people, and once in a while I sort of say it to myself when I look at some of the crazy things I do that are in disobedience to God. But it's like, you know, are you even saved? You know, do you really live like a saved person? You know, you're a saint, but saints sin. You know, and we don't always live like Jesus, and we don't always carry this imagery of Christ in our actions and our deeds. But when Peter says He's the Messiah, does that resonate with us? What have we made Him to be in light of the fact that He is the Messiah? Where are we with that? Is he your Red Cross? You know, is he the one that whenever there's trouble, you know, you call on Him? You don't need Him any other time, but boy, if there's a disaster in your life, if there's a plague in your life, if you've got a personal hurricane going on in your life, you know, and it's reaping destruction, oh, then do we call on Jesus? Is He suddenly our Red Cross? Is He our National Guard? Or maybe it's a bit more personal than that. Maybe He's just your personal attendant. You know, well, day to day, I just need Him to do things for me. I just need Him to be there for me. That's how I see my Jesus. He's the one who's just going to do whatever I want done. Who will I say He is? And how will my life demonstrate that? And how will that show up in my life and in my relationships? There has to come a place where you and I understand that He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You can't bring Him down here and make Him just like you. You can't. Jesus is human. He is fully human. But He is still the Son of God. He is still the Savior. There's a distinction in the Christ. And that is that He is Son of God come to earth in flesh to save man. And we live in that place of Messiah. And so when we go boldly to the throne room, as the Bible says, we don't go just demanding of God that He rescue us and give us and do all these kinds of things. We can't snap our fingers for that because He is Messiah. What is going on with this thing? I feel like cannons are blowing off in the distance with every statement I make. I know they're not all that impacting, okay? Thank you.
Excuse me for just a moment while I... Wonderful.
Let me take you to Isaiah chapter 7. I'm gonna begin reading at verse 13 here. Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David." Verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign." And this is the sign. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." That is God with us. God with us. By our lives, do we live in such a way and do we make decisions in such a way that we are aware that God is always with us? When I think back to various choices in my life, I took no note that God was with me. Had He been with me, or had I understood that He is always with me, I would not have chosen to do some of the things that I did. But even as believers, even as those who are close relationally with God, do we live in such a way that we have an awareness that God is with us? Let me ask it this way. How many times has someone said they were sick and you thought, I should pray for them, but didn't? How many times has someone said, I'm going through a difficult time, and we say things like, I'll be thinking about you. But we don't take the time to pray with that person. We don't take the time to really sit down and listen. How many times have we missed the mark, so to speak? How many times have we missed an opportunity because we moved on? See, I think if we begin to understand that we carry the presence of God with us, He's in the temple. We are the temple. We carry the presence of God with us. We have the presence of God there. And He is always with us. God with us. Perhaps it would be more impacting in our relationships with others when we are aware of that than not. Perhaps we would begin to respond differently, becoming more aware of that the presence of God is with us, is in us. And we begin to respond more out of ministry, maybe. I don't know. It's more out of compassion, more out of care, more out of love. Ministry kind of makes it sound more generic, I think, here. And that's not really what I'm trying to go after here. What I'm trying to go after is being present to another person, but understanding that I don't have to represent myself. Do you follow that? It's easier, see, because it's not me. I don't have to fix the person. I don't have to be you know, that answer man. I'm there. I'm present to that person. And I can do that when I understand that I carry Christ with me. That I have this kind of relationship with God. So let's come back. Who is this Jesus now? In light of this truth of Emmanuel, of God with us. He is God with us. Yes. What have I made Him to be in light of that truth? Is He my teddy bear? You know, my cozy comforter, you know, those things, you know, that they're like a blanket, but you can put your arms through them and zip them up and you can lay on the sofa and you got this thing all around you and it's kind of warm and it makes you feel better. Do you know there's a new one out now? They sold 20 million of those and figured probably, well, we got to come up with some other way to get these crazy people's money. And so now they have this union suit, this Long John suit now, and you just fit into it. It's like everybody's got the same thing your little toddler's got, you know? You got this like romper room thing that you can put on. Men, let me help you. Don't do that, all right? I do not want you going around your houses in romper room outfits, okay? Bouncing around. If it's cold, put on a jacket, all right? Put on some warmers and socks, all right? Don't do that crazy. Don't spend that money on, don't not give me one of those for Christmas. Well, why did 20 million sell when they were blankets? And I'll bet you 20 million will sell now that they're rompers. Because people's looking for a way to feel good, to be cozy. You know, I just want someone to take my pain away. I just want to be comfortable. I just want somebody to hold me. I just, you know, I need this cozy, warm, fuzzy kind of thing. You know, He's going to be my puppy dog. Jesus does not want to be your puppy dog. I was talking to this lady this week and she lost her dog. Her dog died. I'm going to tell you this. It has nothing to do with the sermon and it's nothing spiritual. It's just a Bill thing. But I put my foot in my mouth a lot of times. And these two ladies came up to me and they said, and they named this lady, you know. And at the gym, I work at the, in case you don't know, I work at a fitness club in the early mornings. And I'm kind of like the bartender, you know. I'm the guy at the front desk and everybody tells me their stuff. And a lot of them now, I mean, people come in weekly and they go, I just found out from somebody on the floor, you're a pastor. And you can just tell they're going, oh God, what did I just say? Or what did I say last week? Or did I swear in front of him? Or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I just start laughing, you know. But they share stuff with me, you know. And these two ladies come to me and they go, name this lady. And they go, we think her dog just died. And I don't know why I said this. Because it's a kind of a southern expression, and you just sort of say it when you don't have an answer for anything else. And I didn't want to be the pastor at the moment, you know, and I just said, doggone. Not good. I didn't get it, you know. One lady starts laughing. She's cracking up almost on the floor. The other lady's going, oh, you are awful. How could you say that? That's not funny. You know, I didn't know any, but people come. So a couple of days later, this lady doesn't come to the gym for like 4 days. So, you know, a few days later, she comes in the gym and I look at her and I say, I'm really sorry. She starts to bawl. I mean, big crocodile tears are coming down her face. And she's like, I just loved him so much, you know, and it sounds like it's an old boyfriend or something, you know. And then she's like, you know, he was just so special. And I said, you're going to get another one? And she goes, oh, I have two more. You know, but. I said, really? And she goes, yeah. But this one was so special. She goes, you know, there's something about your puppy dog. You just come in and your puppy dog just loves you. You don't have to put makeup on. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to do anything. Your puppy dog just loves you. And you just know you're loved. And it just feels so good, you know. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be a certain way. Your puppy dog is just there. He's always there. He was just waiting for me all the time. And when I would come in, there he would be. Great. That's awesome. I have something crawling up my back here. There. Is that what we relegated Jesus to be? Just a little puppy dog? When I need a fix, when I'm lonely, when I need something, I'll just call on him. I'll just whistle. That we're talking about the Son of God here. You know? We're talking about the Christ. We're talking about the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And I challenge us to see Him for who He is, the Son of the God who spoke life, who spoke creation, and to live out of that understanding, live out of that knowledge. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. You all know this. This is the passage on the birth of Jesus and Let me just read a little bit, and he's going to put the main scripture up there, but let me just read a little bit here in that second chapter. It says that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah." And here's the greater revelation. The Lord. The Lord. Wow. That just like adds something else to it, doesn't it? That brings it to even another dimension. He is the Lord. Then it goes on to say that the company of the heavenly host, the angels, they appear, they begin to praise God, they begin to say, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace on those to whom His favor rests." The Lord has come. There's peace now because the authority has come to the earth. You can have peace in your heart. You can have joy in your heart under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But again, the question is, who have we made this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? He is the Lord. He is the Lord of lords, the Lord of all lords, all right? He is the Lord of the host. But what have I made Him? How do I see Him? Is He my cosmic bellhop, you know? I need something, so God has to get it, you know, ring my little bell. Is He my Santa? Do I just have a list? Is He my wish list? And it's all about what I want. It's all about what I want to get. And so all of my conversation with the Lord is one-sided. It's all about me. In other words, I've shifted it, I've twisted it, I've skewed it, I've inverted it, whatever you want to say. But the list is now on my side, not on His side. And so it's not about Bible, it's about my list. And I live out of my list and what I want and what I desire and what I need. And that's what I bring to Jesus. You ever had a friend and all they do is ask you for stuff? Doesn't that get a little tired after a while? Every time you see them, you start to think in the back of your mind a little thought, okay, what do they want? Your cell phone rings, you see their number, and you go, oh, what does he want now? What does she want now? You better not be doing that with your spouse. Okay. but aren't we like that? Have we gotten into our faith in such a way and that we've skewed things and now it's really all about us? Or is there lordship in Christ? Have we given Him the lordship that is His, that He deserves? And I want to challenge us in this season that's where we begin to live, is out of the lordship of Christ. We lay down our desires. We lay down our will. We lay down our ambitions. We lay down our dreams and say, okay, You're the Lord. And I want that lordship. I want that life in You. Let me take you to one last scripture and we'll be done here. I know it's been a long service today. Just give me one more opportunity here to speak into this, because this one is so powerful. I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin. A man's been healed. There's a great disturbance, if you will, so to speak, over this healing. The Sanhedrin doesn't know what to do with this. They don't know how to handle this. And Jesus is being preached now. And Jesus is being given credit. All right. And so here's Peter and John, and they're out among the multitude of the people. And so the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees, they come up to Peter and John while they're talking to the people. And they're very, very disturbed about what these apostles are teaching the people. Because it says in verse, I think it's verse 2, it says there, they were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. If someone had asked them in that moment, who is this Jesus? They would say, He is the resurrected one. He died and He lives. That's who this Jesus is. He is the Jesus of power. He is not just Lord in heaven, but He is Lord in the earth. He is Lord over life and over death. He is the Messiah, the King, the Lord, the resurrected one. If you go over a little further, let's look in, let's see, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note of these men that they had been with Jesus. Nothing special about these two guys. And yet, someone who has encountered them has been dramatically, amazingly, miraculously healed. And so they begin to look at them. All right, what's different? What makes this man different than that guy over there or that lady back there? What there's got to be something here that can tell us why a man can encounter these two and be healed. They're unschooled. They're not educated. They're sort of common like other people. What's the difference about these two? They had been with Jesus. They had an experience and a time with Jesus. They had relationship with Jesus. Jesus had taught them. Jesus had schooled them in the things of the kingdom. And now they are doing the work of that kingdom among the people. And the distinctive about them is they have been with Jesus. Who is Jesus? According to this passage, He is the resurrection and the power. What have we made Him? In light of that, what have we made this Jesus? Have we skewed that? Has He become the magician for our lives? Is he the hit man? You know, just go take him out. Deal with it, God. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Just get rid of all this stuff in my life, God. Take care of the mess. I just want you to make it go away. Make it disappear. Is it your lotto ticket? God, if you'll just do this, if you'll just do that, I'll get things taken care of. I'll tell you what, if he were the lotto ticket, the lotto came in 2,000 years ago. The gift is Jesus, not something he gives you, not something he does for you, not some benefit, not some blessing. The gift is Jesus. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is the resurrection and the power. That is who this Jesus is. In verse 14 of this passage, these men who are disturbed speak to themselves or among themselves, and they say these words. They pose this question, what are we going to do with these men? I want to skew that question for you this morning, and I want to ask you a question that's a little bit different. What are you going to do with this Jesus? This man that's been revealed to you today through Scripture, what will you do with him? And as we live out this holiday season, as we live out this Christmas, and as we move into this new year, and as we put the old behind and we press on towards the mark, the prize for the high calling that is in Christ Jesus, and as we look to celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, can he be already that resurrected power in us? Can we go through this season full of God, full of the Spirit, full of power, and be the people that God will use to be the light in the darkness of this world? I believe we can if we understand who this Jesus is. Stand with me, please. So here's the question. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And then, what will you do with him? And better yet, what can he do with you? I only want you to bring one thing to Jesus this season, and that is your life. Your life, just as it is. Come to him. Come to him and give him your life to be used. We are, the Scriptures tell us, vessels of honor. Meet, one translation says, for the Master's use, meaning sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. We set Moriah apart in prayer today. That setting apart is for eternity. It's done. It is sealed by the authority of Jesus Christ today through the laying on of hands and the prayer of faith. Will you let God seal that gift today in you, of yourself to him, as a vessel of honor, set apart for the use of Jesus Christ alone? Will you do that today? Will you make that commitment today? Would you just do that even just by signifying, by the raising of your hand, not for me to see, but for God to see? Just as an act of faith. It's just all you're saying is, you know what? I lift my hand to Jesus. And in lifting my hand to Jesus, I declare his lordship. I declare that he is the Messiah. I declare that he is the Savior of my soul. I declare that he is the Lord over all of my life. I declare that he is the power that I need through his resurrection to live this life and to uphold his standard of righteousness in the earth and to be obedient. I do that by faith today and through the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to seal this revelation in our hearts. I ask you, God, that today Christ alone have lordship of each of us. That today resurrection power become manifested in our lives. And that we become a powerful influence of light into darkness. and that grace abound through us, that mercy flow out of us, that love overtake us for your glory and for your honor, and that we will indeed live as your chosen vessels of honor in this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great week.